please adjust your schedules.
For what?
To attend. Oh, whoa, whoa.
That's a lot of binging and bonging, yo.
I debonged it.
Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl.
And I am Molly Wood, and welcome to Make Me Smart, the podcast where we are joined, as always, by you, because none of us is as smart as all of us. Thank goodness for you.
This is going to be an interesting week, because there's some things to hash through, actually, at the top of the pod, as it were. There's Afghanistan and the president's speech. There's the internet and who gets to control it. A little bit about Bitcoin as well, and then a special thing courtesy of one Ms. Molly Wood.
A special thing. Plus, we have a great answer to our Make Me Smart question. This is from another Molly. And as you may hear, this is apparently the last time we're ever going to have another Molly on the show because Kai has banned it.
It's true. I have. Look, a man's got to live by certain rules. And I now have a new one.
Never be outnumbered by the Mollies.
Which I didn't even know was a thing until I got outnumbered by Mollies.
But we are going to have one heck of a news fix. So let's jump right in.
President of the United States gave a little speech on Monday night. We're taping this Tuesday, just to timestamp it for you, about where this country is going to go in Afghanistan. I have some thoughts, which we can get into later, Ms. Wood, if you like. But the thing that struck me about this speech, which I think I want to touch on because it's important not just to me and you and our children, not that we have any together. That's important to say. Because people sometimes say that, right? Come on.
You will
people
get a letter.
Tweet that at us.
I will get a letter.
I get tweets about it all the time. Yep. Anyway, our generation, our kids' generation, and our grandchildren's generation. And here's the deal. I believe, and I'm not the only one, but I'm the guy with the microphone. I believe that much as Korea and Germany and Japan became multi-generational requirements for our military services, so too now has Afghanistan. It's been 16 years.
Yeah.
President said last night, I'm not setting any deadlines. He literally said in the speech, we're going to win. But what he really did was set us up not to lose, which are not the same thing. And for that reason, I believe we're going to be there for a very long time. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, it seems, I would say that is a safe prediction, if only because there is no, and even the generals say this, it's not actually a win situation. It's not a decisive victory kind of thing. In fact, I found this great piece from 2008 that talked about, it wasn't even a great piece, it was just a news story from 2008 talking about many of these same things, particularly Iraq and Afghanistan. And you had Joint Chiefs of Staff Admiral Michael Mullen saying, quote, "We can't kill our way to victory," and arguing that Afghanistan required basically a prevention strategy, a how do we stop people from being radicalized in the first place strategy, which is a decades-long process, assuming that process even goes right in the first place.
And the upshot of which is I think we need to hunker down as a population and get ready for this. And I'll tell you what else, and this is, I think, has been something I've brought up here. I think this is where the civilian-military disconnect in this society is going to come home to roost, because we are going to have there was a great line in the Washington Post the other day about the commandant of the Marine Corps going over to like Helmand Province or someplace really bad in Afghanistan, and saying to like 19 and 20 year old Marines that he couldn't tell them that in a generation there's not going to be another old guy standing up in front of their kids saying, "Welcome to Afghanistan."
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what?
Well,
and that just play. That's the disconnect. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Well, you say that the disconnect's going to come home to roost, but I don't know when it is, because what is it? 1%. I read a stat today about how 1% of the population has been fighting this war for 16 years.
Yep.
Most Americans many Americans barely even know what's going on. And that disconnect just gets wider. I mean, there are like Facebook quizzes that say, you know, you may be a white person if you don't know anybody in the military. And or you live within a mile of a Whole Foods, right? Or you may be a coastal elite. And I think that's really the case. I mean, I'm one of the few people I know. My first cousin is on Guam.
Oh, wow.
Like You know, another one of my cousins was deployed four times in Iraq. Four times. Well, but I don't know that many other people in my town who have military relatives. Right. It's just not, the disconnect is huge.
So that four times thing, just to bring it back to the Naval Service, of which I am a proud veteran, lots of news the past 2-3 weeks about American warships getting rammed or running into commercial vessels in the Straits of Malacca. There have been four since the beginning of the year. Part of that is what is called op tempo, right? These guys, much like the Marines on the ground in a much less fatal environment, but in the same operational tempo environment, those guys have been going balls to the wall for 16 years.
Yeah.
And women, too. I mean, when I was there, there were no women on warships, which is why I said guys. But that's the deal, right? Mm-hmm. That American service members have been going all out for 16 years, and we need to figure out how to do that.
And people have no idea.
Yep.
People have no idea. Is it? I mean, do you think it's like a, I watched, this is like such a stupid movie to have made me draw this connection, but I watched the new Kong movie, Skull Island.
Wow. First of all, there's a new Kong movie?
The plane to and fro D.C. I mean, it's newish. It's, you know, it's old enough now to be out and on airplanes.
All right.
But yeah, it's got Samuel L. Jackson. But it takes place, you know, as the Vietnam War is winding down. And there's this whole scene where this woman is a war photographer and Samuel L. Jackson's character says to her, "You're one of the reasons that we lost support for the war."
Oh, wow.
And yet, right, in modern warfare, what you really hear is that people are filing dispatches. I read a great thing, I think, in The New Yorker about a woman who's been a freelance war photographer in Afghanistan for, you know, a decade of this 16 years. And nobody takes her pictures.
Right, right.
Like, no one publishes them. And so it's sort of like, if it were on Twitter all the time, would there be a better conversation? Does that matter? I don't really know.
Yeah. I don't know that Twitter ever gets you a better conversation. Just saying.
Really good point. But it gets you to a conversation versus the kind of just, you know, the blind, I don't know, unawareness that you have until it shows up in the news because the speech happened. What do we have a clip of the speech?
We do. We have the president. We can play the president. I kind of blew by it when I said what he said. But let's hear him because the man's the commander in chief.
A core pillar of our new strategy is a shift from a time-based approach to one based on conditions. I've said it many times, how counterproductive it is for the United States to announce in advance the dates we intend to begin or end military options. We will not talk about numbers of troops or our plans for further military activities. Conditions on the ground, not arbitrary timetables, will guide our strategy from now on.
So two things about that. One, I believe that's the correct posture to take. Two, I'm going to say this before somebody else does. Donald Trump was against the war in Afghanistan before he was for it.
Oh, yeah.
So
also, well, you know, said. Good job with good job with the callback.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, so let's talk about the money for a second.
A lot of it. It's going to be a lot.
Some people were interpreting that speech as essentially, and some people being Nancy Pelosi and many others, as essentially a request for, you know, an indefinite or unlimited number of troops and or money. Mm-hmm. And Congress has to agree to pay for that, right?
Yeah, they totally do. But here's the deal. For the past 15 years, I was going to say at least, but for the past 15 years, he says in a declarative statement, American military expenditures have been funded what's known as off budget, right? They are actually not in the annual budget cycle, let alone talking about how screwed up our budget cycle is, right? But they're not part of the annual budget. Yes, they have to be appropriated and passed. And yes, it's also true that Congress brought an end to the Vietnam War by stopping funding for the armed forces. But I'm not sure that that's going to happen now, number one, because Congress has changed and it no longer takes stances on political issues, difficult political issues, which I understand is an oxymoronic thing to say about a legislative body at the national level. I understand that.
It's weird. That was jarring.
I know. Yeah. But also, you know, troops are in the field. And I'm not sure that Congress is going to be the one to say, nope, we're not doing that. No more bullets for you.
It is such an interesting thing about how Congress has essentially abdicated its power to declare war, for example, because then those votes just get used against you forever.
Right, right.
I mean, it's a whole.
All right, so you know where I am now. God, I didn't want to go there because I'm already, I was having a pretty good day and now I'm back in nothing matters land. What?
Oh no, no, right. We're gonna bring it around.
Can we bring it around? I want to bring it around to something. Conversation I had today, which actually I think will resonate with you, and it's an interview with Matthew Prince, mm-hmm. who's the CEO of a company called Cloudflare, which those who were up on the news may or may not know. Last week, Matthew Prince woke up one morning. Cloudflare is a sort of a technology infrastructure company, right? It helps the internet work to keep it at a very high level. And if you'd like to dig down farther, mm-hmm. Ms. Wood, you certainly may, but please don't, because I'll get lost. Anyway,
that was me taking a deep breath.
Yeah.
What?
So Prince wakes up the other day and literally throws the Daily Stormer website, which is a white supremacist neo-Nazi website, off of his company. He says, we are not going to provide you services and get away from us. And that impinges on the Daily Stormer's ability to get out there to the internet neo-Nazi seeking masses. But I think it's a really interesting conversation to have because this guy presumed unto himself the ability to censor the internet because he runs a private company not susceptible to the First Amendment and all that jazz. So it's going to air on Marketplace this afternoon, Tuesday, the whole thing. But I want to pull a cut here because it's something you and I have talked about, this issue of, you know, online free speech. So here's Matthew Prince, the CEO of Cloudflare.
It's really a deep concern if you have infrastructure companies making choices about who can and cannot be on the internet. I guess, you know, in a pre-internet technology world, I would sort of analogize it to the telephone company listening in on your phone calls and deciding that they don't like what you're talking about, so they turn you off. Our challenge was that we'd been trying to have a conversation about how critical it was to think through who should be regulating and effectively censoring the internet. And yet, every time we would try and have that conversation, the question just kept coming back to, why do you support Nazis? Obviously, we don't support Nazis. The content was repugnant. But I do think it's really important for us to have a conversation about who and when and where and how the internet will get regulated and will get, in this effect, censored.
Said the guy who censored the internet. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fascinating concept, and I'd love your take.
It is super fascinating. He wrote then a big mm-hmm. blog post mm-hmm. About on the Cloudflare blog about why we terminated Daily Stormer. Now, one of the things that he said was the tipping point was that the Daily Stormer team apparently made the claim and made the claim mm-hmm. frequently that Cloudflare itself secretly supported mm-hmm. neo-Nazi ideology, and that was it, right? That they were we can't do that.
And he says that in the actual extended interview, yeah.
Right, because if you search for Matthew Prince and Cloudflare and, distasteful content, you will find articles as far back as 2015 and probably before quoting him as saying, it is not our place. Yep. To decide what goes online, and that it came up first around terroristic content and, you know, basically ISIS propaganda. But so then he wrote this big blog post about how we did this and we had a tipping point and we felt like we had to do it, and this is why it's super dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, to use it for the second time in 12 minutes, oxymoronic, right? On the one hand,
it is.
Yeah, no, I get it. But you know what? It's a conversation we need to have, I think.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the question. So, yes, we need to have, well, that's not the question
at all. Not we, you and me, by the way. I mean, we the larger we.
Everybody. Yeah. And one of the things that he points out that I think is so remarkable is that he talks about how, in the not-so-distant future, if we are not there already, I'm reading from the blog post, it may be that you're going to put content on the internet and you will need to use one of only a few companies, mm-hmm. right? It's going to be Cloudflare, Google, Microsoft, Facebook. If Facebook has its way, all of the content will just be published on Facebook.
Yep.
And then all of its weird censorship rules will come into play. And we should probably do a whole episode on it, honestly, because it's becoming a huge part of what goes online, especially as these networks... I promise that I won't read any of it or talk about it. But one of the things that I thought was so cool about his blog post...
What's coming here? Uh-oh.
...was how well he articulated all of the different places, all the different kind of switches along the path of content getting from, you know, somebody writing it or recording it to you.
Yep.
From the platforms to the hosts to the transit providers to the reverse proxies. I know I said I wasn't going to do it, but it's really like I want to see it in graphic form because you realize how many places it goes and how many choke points there are and how many people could at any point
totally
step in and say, I'm not doing this and I'm not delivering it.
Totally. It's a great post. We will put a link actually at makemesmart.org and also at marketplace.org/makemesmart because I do encourage folks to read it. But here's sort of a more fundamental question. And let's set aside a lot of the personal content that goes on Facebook and let's think corporate interests here, right? What happens if Jeff Bezos wakes up one morning and kicks, ExxonMobil off Amazon mm-hmm. Web Services, their cloud computing platform, right? Mm-hmm. Just because he's in a bad mood, because he can.
That's why you can't do it. That's why.
Except he can.
Exactly. He totally can. And that's why there have to be rules. That's why this conversation has to happen.
Yep.
And I don't know where the rules need to come down in terms of the Daily Stormer, but I would argue that they need to come down with pretty wide latitude. As I have argued on this show before, mm-hmm. and even though it is uncomfortable and terrible and horrific, it can't. I mean, the good thing that Prince says, the really good thing he says in this post is that due process has to be the guiding principle as we have this conversation. And due process in the sense that everyone needs to know what the rules are and everyone needs to agree to follow those rules. But Jeff Bezos could, like you said, wake up and decide not to follow them.
Totally.
It's unlikely. But it could happen. And it is.
Take a breath right there. That was.
I know. It's
that's
just
some
such a big
right
question.
There.
Like the flow of information has never been free. Not free. It has never been free of conflict. It has never been free of, you know, business responsibility. It's never been. I don't know. And it's getting like if you I don't want Facebook to be the model. I guess if I had to choose, I would rather Twitter be the model. I really would. Because I look at the choices that get made by Facebook's algorithms. I look at the way that it at the random ways that it disappears, that it influences the conversation. I mean, it disappeared a woman writing about her own online threats and harassment based on her race. It took those off of Facebook, but doesn't take actual white supremacist sites off. Like, it is easy to get in a really dark place when you think about the way that censorship does influence our conversation online, and then to come down on the side of less, way less.
All right, so you're in a dark place. I'm in a dark place. Wait for the best segue ever. You ready? You ready? Here it comes. I'm so proud of this.
Yeah.
Take me someplace sunny. Come on.
I was like, I know the general direction, but I don't know where we're going to end up.
Give me some sunshine, baby.
Amazing.
Come on.
I know. I'm going to pick it back up. I'm going to pick it back up because the earth was reborn yesterday. apocalypse landed. Day became night. It was crazy, but rebirth happened. Okay. We didn't do for the third week in a row. We did not have a Facebook Live editorial meeting.
Sorry.
And I'm sorry. It is in fact all my fault. And in this case, it's because I scampered off to Oregon on a little mother-son trip with my friend and her son, who's also 10, and my son. And those boys got to miss the first day of school.
Oh, wow.
So that we could go out into the middle of nowhere, Oregon, and watch the eclipse.
Wow.
With everybody else, apparently. Like, half of America went to Oregon.
I'd love to see a map of population density along the path of totality, actually. Just some phone company could just check everybody's signal, right, and just figure out the density. That'd be a cool map.
They should.
Yeah, totally.
There were some aerial photos, and they did determine that more people seem to have gone to Oregon than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we watched the eclipse. I'm gonna can I just geek out about the eclipse?
Yeah,
for
go.
Like,
it's the floor is yours.
The science stuff. The science stuff is so interesting. My friend Becky is like one of these people who like we were looking at all the constellations because we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to make sure that we flew in Sunday to Portland and then stayed in the cutest Airbnb in the world, by the way. Shout out to Jan. got up at 3 a.m. so that we could drive onto the Warm Springs reservation down toward the town of Madras, but not all the way in because traffic in Madras started 5 days ago.
Yeah.
And she is one of those people who knows all the constellations and whatever. And so we got to talking about the science behind eclipses and how astronomers go crazy and scientists go crazy when there is a total eclipse, because it's the only time that you can study the outer atmosphere of the sun, known as the corona. It's only actually visible during a total eclipse, and it's a huge astronomy mystery. The corona, which is the outside, so counterintuitively, is the hottest part of the sun. Like the visible surface is 5,500 degrees Celsius. Hmm. But then the corona is like more like 10,000 degrees Celsius. And then makes a sudden leap once it gets to the outer edges to millions of degrees. And no one knows why. Because you would think stuff toward the end, you know, everywhere on Earth, like density creates heat instead of just this outer like wispy thing. So anyway, that whole like white fire around the totality is what they want to study. And so I'm like, now I'm so into it that there was this team in Wyoming and they were taking all these pictures and I like want to call them in 3 months and see if they discovered anything new. Because it's awesome.
and you will. Put a little tickler in there. We'll call them. We'll get them on the pod.
I'm totally going to. Yeah. And then we'll have them on Make Me Smart because it was super interesting. And I brought back, I took my little radio kit and cool. I recorded a little narrative. So can we do like the human eclipse version? Okay. So we're going to start, my first cut is, it takes like an hour and 20 minutes to get all the way to totality. And so this is maybe, you know, 25 minutes in with two 10-year-old boys who are not yet very impressed. This is Clayton and my son, Eli.
That's the actual moon. The moon is literally perfectly aligning with the sun. And then it looks like it was a small hole punch. It's getting darker and darker. It's practically night. I mean,
it is not. Don't exaggerate.
Okay.
Is it more or less dramatic than you thought it would be?
I thought it would be more dramatic.
Instead of it just being like a black shadow of death.
Quit exaggerating.
Don't exaggerate. You got your upper Midwest coming out there, boy. Whew.
I know. Well, so that was me telling my son not to exaggerate, and then Clayton, the other kid, telling me not to exaggerate. Oh. Turnabout is fair play, children. Okay, and then this is sort of us. We were hanging out. We pulled over on the side of the highway. We were in an original spot, but we kind of got kicked off because it was native land. And so we ended up on the side of this highway, but it was a pullout along 26 with just maybe, I don't know, 100 other cars.
Oh, cut it out.
I like your little dance to it.
I did.
And how you're just smiling. Oh, that's pretty fun. Full crescent.
I know, we're at full crescent. It's not even fat crescent.
Mom, do you see the banana?
I see the banana. There's a banana in the sky.
Total eclipse of the heart. It is definitely way cooler.
Not already subscribed to Make Me Smart
podcast.
Jenny, I apologize. That was Eli, and you know, I can't control him. My child. That truck says, "Congratulations on your eclipse, everyone." I still have to work.
Working hard or hardly working. There you go.
We're hardly working. Temperature's dropping. My son's trying to ham it up and pimp Make Me Smart. But then, very quickly, it's like long process. They're getting kind of antsy. The boys had these cool goggles that my friend Becky had ordered from Amazon. So they had full, you know, full eyeball coverage.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it went from, you know, like kind of neat and the light was getting a little weird and it was getting cooler to this.
Yes. Look. Oh, look. Look.
Yeah.
Please turn on.
Oh my gosh, like
I can see a star.
Oh my god. Look up! Look up without your lashes! Oh my god!
Oh, that's cool.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody around us is cheering.
You can't look at it. It's freezing.
It's freezing cold. It's like super cold.
That is
people are cheering. Dude, we can see stars at 10 o'clock in the morning right now.
Oh my god.
It's dropping. Look!
Oh!
Whoa! It's not the end of the world!
God, it's just like literally morning has come. Like,
watch! Oh,
that was so
cool.
That was so cool.
So, all right, so obviously there was an edit in there, right? Because the totality lasts 2 minutes and change, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we had totality. I did not know. None of us really realized that if you were looking through the glasses, the sun was actually going to disappear completely and that you can look at totality with the naked eye.
Oh, I knew that.
You're just staring up at this thing. It's this big black disc and there's white fire all around it. And it was probably 20 or 25 degrees cooler. It was.
Which is wild.
Bonkers.
Which is wild. The coolest
thing. And all of a
sudden,
it passes on.
Yeah.
And the light peeks out again. And the light is so bright. So bright. Like the difference between 99% and 100% is everything.
Which tells you how bright the night. Oh, yeah, boom, boom. Talk to me for a second. You said you put something on an Instagram post or something yesterday about how there was it looked like sunrise all all around like 360 degrees on the horizon?
Yeah. The whole horizon, the entire horizon turning all the way around looks like sunrise. Like there's, which is so weird because it's 10:20 in the morning here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 2 in the afternoon on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, the light is like nothing I've ever seen. It just gets, it almost right before totality, it becomes a little like golden hour, but with this gray cast. Mm. Like I have this picture of my son where his skin looks gray, like a little Twilight zombie or Twilight vampire. It was crazy. But I have to say, the main reason to bring it all around is just that little moment at the end where he says the world is not ending after all, because you just like there's nothing like celestial bodies in motion to give you a little perspective.
Also, by the way, a thing I learned actually on public radio earlier this week is that like in 600 million years, the moon will be in a different position. And so we won't be able to actually even have total solar eclipses anymore.
Really?
So, like, yeah. Like, yeah, because the moon is moving away from us at like a quarter inch a year or something. So in X hundred million years, it won't fit. They won't exactly overlap. And when you think about that cosmologically and in the passage of time on an epochal scale, we are living at a sliver of history where this can happen, which frankly is a little mind blowing. And
it
I'm not
is.
One given
See,
to
See, all of that, and all of that is why it's okay not to have Twitter on your phone. Because the minute to minute, is nothing in the grand scale.
So, with that as the punctuation mark on a slightly discursive top of the broadcast, let us know what you think. Makemesmart at marketplace.org. Go to our website, makemesmart.org. Tweet at us. I'm at Kai Rizdahl. Molly, when she's on, is at Molly Wood.
I'm still looking at, I'm still creeping on replies. Don't worry. If you want to be part of our editorial meetings, check us out on the Facebook. That is on our Facebook pages, /Kai Rizdahl and /Molly Wood. If you follow those pages, Facebook will tell you when we are going live.
And we will do one on Monday, promise. Okay, so a little, little music, and then we are going to get our brains on. A little foreshadowing there.
I'm liking it. I'm rocking out.
Yeah.
All right. It turns out this will not be a surprise. There are plenty of podcasts in the radio family trying to make us all a little smarter. One of them is Brains On, which is a science podcast for kids right around the age of my kids that I took through the eclipse there. Molly Bloom is the host of that podcast. We got her on the line to ask her our favorite question.
Something I thought I knew.
That's a really tough question.
That's a big old hunker of a question.
Gosh, that is good.
All right, I'm putting everybody on notice. I'm not doing any more two Molly interviews, okay?
too many Mollies.
I've had too many two Molly
too
interviews.
Too many.
And in fact, it was two, so I've had too many two Molly interviews. Oh, man, get a load of me.
Wow.
Boom, me and Lin-Manuel, man, we're right there with the internal syncope.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness everyone's recording this because that would just be too good to lose.
Oh, man.
Gold.
Molly Wood, ask the question.
All right. Molly Bloom, we are very excited to ask you our signature podcast question. Take as long as you want with your answer. And it is this. What is something that you once thought you knew and you later found out you were wrong about?
Well, this happens to me all the time when I'm working on our show, Brains On, because kids send us questions and then we try to answer them. And when I look at the question, I think, oh, yeah, I kind of know that. And then I start talking to scientists and I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about anything. So like one example is we got the question, how does the internet get to us? And this is something I use basically all day, every day. And I kind of imagined that satellites shot information to my phone and my computer, and I never really thought too hard about it. But then when we started talking to people, we realized, no, that's like actually a very physical infrastructure that gets the internet to us. And it's a series of cables. And, you know, if you actually want to watch a movie from Netflix, there is a cable coming from Netflix that at some point meets a cable coming from your internet service provider. And those cables connect at an exchange point. And that's how they get the information to you. And if you want to send information to, say, England or China, it actually has to travel on underwater cables that just lie on the floor of the sea. And then they actually come up out of the ocean onto the beach. and go to another exchange point? I mean, that sort of all blew my mind. So I didn't know anything about that.
Super cool.
The physical infrastructure thing is amazing. And also, I love the just like, we all know, we all grow up and learn that we don't know anything about anything.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about anything.
As a life lesson.
Can you imagine all the cables coming out of the back of the Netflix headquarters building?
I know.
Sorry, that's the image that popped into my brain.
I also love how that came full circle in a way to the Cloudflare conversation.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's
so
true.
Many,
that's totally true.
So many stopping points.
Totally true. Molly Bloom had some questions for us as well about the value of currency and what the heck Bitcoin is all about. So if you've got kids or if you know kids or feel like a kid, give it a listen. Subscribe. We'll let you know when we are going to be on.
It's not even, or if you think you should have learned things as a kid and you didn't. Brains On is really good for that.
Well, yeah, that's true too, but you know.
All right, speaking of the things that we all want to know more about, in a few weeks, we are going to do an episode. This is Jenny's idea. It's called the Explain-a-thon. And Kai and I are going to answer a bunch of your questions as fast as we can. I feel like we should have call-in. If it's going to be an a-thon.
Wow.
Don't
like,
think.
Like for reals and live, that would be ambitious.
I kind of want to, because RIP Jerry Lewis, like it seems like an homage.
But we want to do it. We want to do it bang, 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 right? So we'd have to have people on the phone,
yeah,
just to say,
true.
Tell me what, deuterium is. And one of us would say, well, it's the heavy water that's used to make atomic weapons and, you know, whatever.
Whoa.
I don't know where that came from.
Way to pull that out of your brain's on brain. What the heck?
I don't know where that came from.
Explain-a-thon is going to be awesome. All right, maybe we could just have some telethon, like, sound effects. Anyway, there will be a time limit, and we're going to bang them all out. Send us some questions. We will put them. We're going to include some of the questions from our 1,000 question database. That seems polite since those have been piling up. And then you can send us more and we will answer as many as we can before we fall down or pass out. I'm just going to have like a whole chicken next to me just for fortification. Not a, like a live
wow.
one.
Wow. Is it going to last that long? I don't know.
I don't know.
Also chicken? Okay.
I don't know where any of that came from.
Send us audio files. That works best. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. Email them if you can't do the audio file thing. We will take it from there. Let me break the fourth wall here and ask a producer a question. He says in a very Arya Game of Thrones-like way.
A boy would like to ask a producer a question.
That's right. That's right. We're going to do this... unbeknownst to me and Molly, right? You're not getting the slightest the answers in advance. Yeah.
Oh.
We're going to have to fail and or lose.
Ooh, so I like it.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, that's the only way to do it. You got to go without a net.
What? I want you to know that this season of Game of Thrones, although I am behind, I am not doing that thing where I just read the recaps. I'm actually watching it.
Oh, boy, does that harken back to a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, look, you got some catching up to do, yo. Let me just say.
Oh, I know. I'm only on like episode 3 of this season. I mean, I'm totally up on everything.
Avoiding spoilers. Oh, are you? Doesn't that? Well, why even bother? What? I don't understand.
You know how I'm avoiding spoilers? Let me just like not to beat a dead horse here, but it's because Twitter is not on my phone.
Dead dragon. Not to beat a dead dragon. I'm just saying. All right.
That better not be a spoiler.
Let's go.
Okay, we have more. We have more from you next. I want to encourage you though, before we pay the bills, to please answer the Make Me Smart question for us yourselves. Well, the Make Me Smart question is, as you heard me ask Molly Bloom, what is something you thought you knew and you found out you were wrong about? Record yourself. We love it when you guys answer that question. So please pull up the little voice memo app on your phone or a voice memo app on your Android phone. Record it and send it to us because we love to play that. More to come after the bills.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey, remember last week we picked a book? If you did not remember, guess what happened last week? We picked a book for the book club, and shocker, it's Man in the High Castle by Philip K. Dick.
Vote early, vote often, people.
Get your guys. This is why you should never trust internet polling. Get your copy. Start reading.
See, that's a life lesson right in there.
Life lesson.
That was a little bit of Make Me Smart tidbit right there. That was it.
So meta.
If we do nothing else on this podcast, you now know not to trust internet polling.
So meta. You have got about a month to read and digest this book, and then we're going to start talking about it. We're going to make sure we mention the book club every week, by the way, so that no one forgets that it's happening, and also so that I don't forget to go, you know, download it. On my Kindle, get after it. And now your mail.
Where do we mail a letter?
In the mailbox.
This one comes from Doug Brown. He says, while listening to the mailbox this week, which was a couple of weeks ago, I was reminded that I felt unfulfilled in the Bitcoin discussion. Mm-hmm. If blockchain is great because of the distributed ledger, how, he wonders, did Molly lose her Bitcoin? End of quote.
I know. You know, it's funny because that question really made me think about it. And I was like, shoot, I guess I don't know. Okay, this is what I think happened. So the Mt. Gox was the exchange, which was essentially it tied your account to individual Bitcoin. So I think what happened is Mt. Gox or Mt. Gox lost all of the accounts. So that particular part of the record, which is not the same thing as sort of the expenditure and chain of all the Bitcoin, but I think the record that tied my account to Bitcoin was what was lost. So this is a good point to point out that no security is infallible, right? So when I say that Bitcoin has this distributed ledger and that means it's totally trackable and it's much safer, it is not obviously perfect. And one link in the chain can be broken. And that is the part where my account gets tied to specific Bitcoin. But I also might be wrong about the mechanics of that. And if I am, then I would love to encourage our caller from last week
to find me my Bitcoin.
Brandon Gottlob, who is incredibly well-versed in cryptocurrency, to explain what actually happened. But that's what I think happened, is that the connection between my actual name and identity and those pieces of Bitcoin was what was lost.
There you go.
There you go.
Do us a favor, take to Apple Podcasts, would you, and subscribe, tell a friend, leave us that 5-star review, or if you must, the 1-star review, just be kind, and hook us up, because all that stuff matters.
Yes, and I don't know, we have an exciting couple weeks coming up, some exciting guests, I'll have some news soon, and so you should just keep listening. You should definitely subscribe on Apple Podcasts or, you know, the podcatcher of your choice. Tell your friends. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Oh, man. I wish I could have been playing this music at the eclipse. Make Me Smart is produced by Jenny Josephson.
Oh, that would have been a hell
of a time. Right? Because it's got that, like, it's got the vibe.
Yeah, it does.
Emily Henderson and senior producer Nancy Fragali. This week's program was engineered by Jake Gorski. Our theme music, the music we go on and on about every week, is composed by our own in-house engineers, Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez, who can never quit because we have to keep saying that, in-house.
That's right. The executive producer of Marketplace is Star Nieves. They're going to wind up being the BJ Lederman of podcasting.
They are.
Senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. So here's the question with the music and the solar thing. Would you play this little last tone going into totality or coming out of totality?
I'd play coming out.
Right?
Yeah. Because going in was so magical, and totality was so magical.
And then the sun gets blocked out.
Okay, you win. You're right. You're totally right.
Right?
That was some good scoring.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.